Alejandro.
The long-awaited episode.
Breaking 80.
Breaking 80. We've had a lot of people request this one.
Yep.
A lot of people request this one. I've had at least a few DMs on Instagram, and two people have stopped me in the pub, one person on the range.
The number of text messages I've had, a guy that came by yesterday when we were out here was talking to me about his driver or whatever.
Yeah.
He's one that's asked, but I was like, when's it dropping? I was like, it's dropping soon. Just wait. You're going to have to wait. Like, that's part of the idea of this, right? Is to, I want you to wait for that. Partly because I want you to put the other things in practice first. So if you haven't listened to the Breaking 90 podcast, even if you're somebody who's already in the 80s, please go back and listen to the Breaking 90 podcast first.
It was a good one.
Because it's going to serve as the foundation for the Breaking 80 podcast.
Which, if you think about it, if everybody's going on their golf journey, right? You got to break 100, mm-hmm. then you got to break 90, then 80, then 70,
right?
So just because you're shooting in the 80s, or maybe you're even shooting in the 70s right now, doesn't mean that you can't go back and learn something from the breaking 90, because likely you need that skill to break the lower numbers
Those habits still show up, right? Like, even your best musicians in the world still practice their scales.
Yeah.
Right. They still practice the fundamentals.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Your professional athletes sometimes work on the most basic skills. Like, why is Matsuyama over there working on his setup and his putting? Hasn't he figured that out by now? It's like, well, there's levels of nuance there that, like, they're better at. They're better at the most basic stuff than the average person is.
Oh, yeah.
And so
that's the reason really why they're better than the average person, is because they do the fundamentals 100% right all the time.
Right. And that's the objective, right? So do go back and listen to those. Now, to start this Breaking 80 podcast, right, it's, well, what new tips are we going to get? You're going to get some, I promise you that. But I think it's first important that we conceptualize, like, what is 80? Like, how many strokes is it? How do we kind of deconstruct it to make it where it's palatable, right? Like, if you think about trying to make a really complicated dish that you've never made before, like, what do you need to break? Like, break it down into the smaller component parts that makes it easier to swallow.
I think 82 is a huge milestone in a golfer's journey. And I don't mean that as a blanket rule. I just think that is the level where a lot of people think that, hey, like, I can play golf now.
Right.
It's not, taking things OB. I'm not, you know, if you're breaking 80, most all of your tee shots are probably going to be playable. You're going to be two putting most everything.
You're not going to shoot 90 very much.
You're not going to shoot 90 very much anymore. I mean, pretty much
anywhere.
No. And I mean, again, I'm not going to pump my tires here, but, like, I haven't shot above 90 in probably a year and a half.
Yeah.
If not,
basically
longer.
Your first year and a half took you to break 80, and then it took you another 6 months or so to not shoot above 90, and then you kind of just hung right there.
Yeah.
And then it's been sitting in this, like, 80s zone for a while, with glimpses into
70s.
Yeah, and then, like, around here or there. And so, but I think you're right. Like, I think that's Jamie, who's been on the podcast, his brother-in-law, we're going to try and do something at some point over the next few months as the golf courses get nicer and the grass is greener. But he's never broken 80 before, but I have an idea what his golf swing looks like. I was on his podcast, podcast one time, and I said, I'd like to see if I can get him to break 80, having never seen him swing a golf club, other than what I'll see him swing before he goes out. And we're going to go play 18 holes. I'm going to see if I can get him around the golf course in under 80. Like, I don't know if I'll do it with technique. I'll probably do a little bit of technique. I don't know if it'll definitely be heavy strategy oriented, like figuring out what clubs he can hit and can't hit, placing the ball here versus there, getting his mind to be in the right place on every shot, like literally controlling every variable to walk him around the golf course. It's something I've wanted to do, to try. Again, we're challenging my own threshold as a teacher. Like, that's a really hard task. Now, he's shot in the low 80s a bunch. So it's not like he's a guy in the 90s who's never broken 90. I'm trying to get him to break 80. Like, he's like, man, if I could just break 80, like, dude, that would be like a game changer for me. Like, it's just something I've always dreamed of doing, and I just haven't done it yet. I was like, that would be so much fun to be able to do that.
So your story kind of confirms this this theory just proposed, that, you know, breaking 80 is probably a big golfer's dream for for most everybody who wants to play the game at a high level, right?
Yep.
Now, the hardest part,
and once you're below it, if you shoot above 80, you feel like something's wrong.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right? You're like, a 9 on the scorecard. What?
That's interesting. Yeah. That really is a... When you said it, I hadn't thought about it that way, because I've been below 80 for the most part, and if I have a round above 80, I don't, like, I slough it off because I don't practice. But, like, there's, like, once you get below that number on the regular, like, you don't think of it in the same sense as the majority of the golf world. Like, shooting in the 80s is kind of a big, and then it's like, okay, if I can shoot in the 80s, like, breaking 80 is the thing.
You got
to
realize,
you don't have to shoot par. I don't think it's par. I really don't think it's par for the vast majority
of people. It's not. It's not.
It's
because
breaking 80.
And here's why. And I think that the difference between somebody who's shooting in the 90s, or let's just say hasn't broken 80, right? The difference between them and somebody who does, or who shoots even lower, this is when you really start to dive into your headspace and calling penalties on yourself and being more of a clean golfer. When I say clean, we need to start putting rounds together. We're taking penalty strokes from the right areas. We're in the right headspace all the time. We're battling. We're not taking any mulligans, no breakfast balls. Like, this is,
we're
really
probably playing other golf courses.
Yes. And moving, yes.
Yeah.
Well, what I'm saying is, I think this is really when your headspace has to, I think you have to have a good headspace in order to break 80.
I would agree with that.
You have to have a good headspace. You got to know how to play the game.
Or an insane level of skill. And usually to get one, you kind of have to have at least some level of discipline in the other.
Yeah. Or that person who's just about to break 80 who doesn't do it with their head. I mean, yeah, they're a freak athlete.
Right. Right. But even then, like, they have some level of, like, discipline and awareness of their body that allows them to do that.
Definitely.
And so, and I, you know, I think it's not only breaking 80 once. Elijah's been doing rock climbing recently, and one of the things we did with you the other day was, like, perfect repeats. Like, I want you to hit that exact same shot twice. I want you to climb that route that was really hard for you to finally get. Like, you finally got it. Now do it again. Right? Doing it once is not what makes him a good rock climber a lot better than he was 6 months ago. It's being able to do that difficult route, go right back to it, and do it again, and, right? Because it's hard. It's very challenging to make all those minute adjustments to be able to do
it. And what is it that you always say? You say confidence is doing something having known you can do it again in the future.
Right. Confidence is having done it, knowing that you can and will do it again. Like, you have to do it again. It requires, confidence isn't real until you do it more than once.
Like, and to that point, confidence is something that you need in order to break 80.
Correct. And, like, it's this
constant push and pull.
Right. It never lets up either. Back to the previous podcast, right? It never lets up. And so now it's like, okay, now what do we do? What do we do about this? How do we navigate this? How do we, like, actually break 80? So to break it down, and we did this for you, right? We did something similar to this in breaking 80. I was like, all right, so let's look at a round. So if we think about out here at Franklin Bridge, it's a par 71. I think we're going to take it to a par 70 from the farther tees this coming year. Number 7 is going to be a par 4 from the back tees.
Cool.
So that's a little piece of information that's not out there yet. But number 7 from the back two sets of tees will probably become a par 4. Unless your handicap warrants something else. But anywho, with that being said, so it's a par 71, 72 most places. Let's go with the par 72 because that's the harder one.
Yep.
So say you're playing a golf course, it's par 72. That means you've got to make no more, it can be no more than 7 over par on 18 holes. So that's a bogey every 3 holes and 1 more. So, like, if you break it down like that, and we did this, I think, almost exactly like this. I said,
yeah,
you're going to draw a black line on the scorecard every time you play. Draw a black line between holes 3 and 4, between 6 and 7, between 9 and 10. Big old black permanent marker. Like, you want
Sharpie.
To define, you can change colors, I don't care. Like, between 12 and 13, between 15 and 16. Draw those hard lines, and your goal is to play the first 3 set of holes. Everybody's trying to do the whole thing. Don't try to do the whole thing. We're going to keep pulling you down into these layers. So I have to make as many of those three segment blocks. So there's six of them, right? I need to make it through that segment of three and plus one or better. Okay. Once that one's done, it's over. You chalk it up like, check, I got one. You next one is plus one or better. Check, I got one. So it's funny, we're starting on the mental standpoint, right?
And we're starting with a mental mindset. And hold on, with the mental mindset, if you make three straight pars, do not go into that next three saying, oh, I stacked one. I've got
right?
one to
no,
give.
No, it's not about stacking them, right? Because that's just barely getting by. We don't barely get by. It's like the birdie game in my book we've talked about. Like, well, but I've got these birdies. I can carry them over. No. You can't. Like, that's the Breaking 70 podcast, right? But it's like, you have to have the discipline of going, it's this one. It's just like you get all these extra mulligans in the free solo. The solo.
God,
I've been watching some Alex Honnold videos recently. Yeah. But it's in the solo, right, is you have all these mulligans. You can't assume that you've got a mulligan. Don't count on having one. Assume that you're going to hit that tee shot and not hit another tee shot. And play it. And probably if you have a bad one that's kind of okay, you should probably play it anyway, just out of the discipline of, I don't want to get in that habit. So it's break that out. If you just make a bogey on each one, you shoot 78, right? On a par 72. So if you're playing a par 71, that's 77. I will count both those. Be like, well, it's a par 71. Like, so? Like, you still have to, there's still a mental component of one shot, right? Like somewhere. So it's changing that threshold. It's, can the 4 minute mark be broken in the mile? Can the 2 hour mark be broken in the marathon? The answer is yes to both.
And this was a big, big part of me breaking 80 and a current part of me going even lower and chasing par is whenever we played here at Franklin Bridge, I always had this mental milestone where it's like, if I go through the turn and I'm four under or less, I'm good.
Four over or less,
I'm good, right? But as soon as I start doing that, then you start allowing yourself to make bogeys.
Right.
And being like, well, as long as I don't have more than four, I'm going to be under an 80. Right. It's like, well, like, that's not the goal. The goal is not to get as close to 80 without going over. The goal right. is to go as low as you can go.
Right. No, absolutely. And so, you know, it's staying in that discipline of, all right, once that hole is done, it's done. If you really want to get fancy with it, cut it off of your scorecard and like...
that's good.
Like, put it away. Like,
you if just you have 18 strips of paper at the end of your round.
Yeah, or seven or eight or whatever it is. Like, you just cut them all up. You're like...
Or every three.
Yeah, every three. You just cut it up and throw it in the cart.
Or just fold it. Fold it like
that works too.
Like a, yeah.
Yeah, so you don't
like
see
like some origami.
Right. And so you start tricking the brain because people... And it's tricking the brain not to like try to trick yourself. It's just trying to help your brain stay in the moment and not get ahead or behind.
And
people
not
get
give,
behind and ahead, like just like right here.
And not to give the brain a fall net.
Right. No, there's no safety net, right? And if you can collect six of those plus one or better segments of holes, you break 80. It's difficult, but it's not. Padraig Harrington said, like, I believe it's a realistic goal to try to get every golfer to be a single-digit handicap at some point in their golfing journey.
If playing golf at a high level means enough to you, I think that is more than doable.
I'd be willing to bet that he would take players and have it do a lot of the same things that we talked about in the Breaking 90 podcast, right, with the number of clubs that you hit and, like, the types of shots you pick. Like, you can drop a lot of shots there just by doing that. Elijah did two playing lessons with a guy out here who I think has never broken 70 out here, and he shot 67 after the two playing lessons. Like, decision-making, thinking can get you way more under par than, or can move you down substantially so. And the guy's skill was good enough to do that out here. Maybe not at another golf course, but it was good enough to do that out here. And it's, people don't want to put that much stock in strategy. Decade's been an awesome system to help people do that, but even that's kind of complex. Like, some of these simple things we give people is so helpful, and you don't need a complex system to do that. So, like, that's, to me, that's the big picture. Six sets of plus one or better. That's it. You might have one. You're one under on them. Like, especially out here, like, 1, 2, and 3. Like, the first two holes are fairly easy, and 3's a, you know, it's a moderate par 3. If you happen to par that and birdie hole 2 or birdie hole 1, you might be one under.
I mean, do we just end the podcast right here?
Yeah, we could stop like that. Hey, that's all you need. That's it. You know, so as you move down, some of the things that are required, right? 3-putt avoidance is a huge part of breaking 80, right? We talked about 3-putt avoidance with the longer ones too, but like, you've got to not try to make your 15 and 18 footers. Like, you got to not try to make those putts from 10 to 25 feet, because that's where you start making what I would call stupid bogeys, right? Because you try to make that putt and hit it too hard, right? Like, that's a thing. Like, you have to deal with that. Like, you should have no more than 1 3-putt, because that's an, in some ways, an unforced bogey.
Well, and one thing that we've preached about on the podcast as well in the past couple months is tap-in pars are, there's nothing wrong with tap-in pars.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with it. If you have a birdie bid and it comes up 6 inches short, you might feel like you blew it, especially if it was on the same line, right, or the perfect line.
Right.
But if you're tapping it in for par, you got another chance of doing another one on the next hole.
Well, not Stephen Cherry, a different Stephen that stopped me that Elijah's playing with in the solo, who's been asking us about this podcast. Like, he's like, I had this many doubles and I had, I think it was 2 or 3 3-putts and shot 82, 83, 81 has been his recent rounds. It's like, he loved the Breaking 90 podcast and just has done great ever since. It's like, yeah, but you got to get rid of that 3-putt. Like, you've got multiple of them. You get rid of those, you probably break 80 twice at this point, right? Like, that's an unforced. And so then, like, when you have one of those, you start trying to, well, I got to make up for it. So you start trying to hit them harder again, right? It compounds, right? So what you're looking for is not just an error that you make, but how is that error compounding you trying to make up for it later, which is the don't look back, don't look forward. This is why we broke you down into the plus one, plus one, plus one, plus one segments.
Yeah.
Is it's necessary for you to segment it out so that you don't get behind either. Because guys are not, they're not just thinking ahead. When you're thinking like that, you're thinking backwards. That's gone. You can't do anything about it. It's in the rear view mirror.
Yeah, this goes into, I think if we were going to do an episode on like breaking 75, this could be in there too. But I mean, it's definitely breaking 80. Is, I feel like there's this mindset out there that once you start really pushing up against your potential and breaking 80 is starting to become more and more of a reality, I think there's so much of a stereotype where you see these guys, these pros, every single weekend hit these spectacular shots, and you think that those shots are the reason why they're shooting, you know, low scores. When in reality, no, it's just they're avoiding 3-putts, putting everything under 150 yards to, you know, 15 feet or less. And like, the concept is really not hard, but if you try and push the gas down too hard, you're going to start making doubles and triples before you know it, and probably in plethora.
Yeah. That was Brian Jorgensen, by the way. He's one of the owners of the club.
Sweet.
With Brooks, one of the investors. So, anywho.
Subtle plug to watch on YouTube if you want to see some of the people who are.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, you'll see them walk by. Yeah. So where I lost my train of thought there. Oh, so to your point, what you're trying to do is you're trying to not make more birdies, okay? We're still in bogey and worse avoidance.
This is great. I love this.
You have to stay out of the uh-ohs. Like, okay, well, I'm in the rough over here at 180 yards. That's a 4-iron for me. Like, don't try to hit the 4-iron. Because you don't have the – maybe – well, I can hit this shot. Like, it's not that bad. Assume that it's that bad. Just make the assumption that it's that bad. Like, tour players, I can tell you this, when they get into trouble, their first thing they're trying to think of is, how do I not make double? Like, literally, these are the best players in the world. Like, all right, we're not in a great spot. We're not in a bad spot. We're fine. I got a shot at the green. How do we pick this shot so we don't make double? Sometimes it's in a bunker. Sometimes it's long right of the green. Like, some of the holes at Augusta, right? Like, hole 11, like, there's water down left. Like, well, I can't hit it in there. Like, I can't hit it right either. Like, but I can hit it short, right? So guys will leave that one short and have a little 40, 50 yarder because I might make bogey here in amen corner, but I'm not making double.
This reminds me of a hole over at LACC for last year's U.S. Open, and I think it was Rahm. But they're on a par three. There's a bunker behind the green, and Rahm hits it into that bunker behind the green. And so a lot of people would just be like, "It's just a little splash shot, and like landed on the rough, and you know it'll roll down to the hole." But people aren't at LACC. They don't see how severe that green is, and right. they know if that ball comes out with no spin, like it kind of does out of bunkers, right. Especially down grain and down, you know, away from the hole. He's going to be in a lot worse a position if that goes off the front of the green than if he pitches it on the other side of the green and then puts it over to the hole. And that is a pure case of word plan for
correct
bogey here.
Correct. And the for those that are Franklin Bridge regulars, hole 18 has a new bunker in on the right side.
Oh yeah,
off the tee with and water island green. Right.
This is so great. Like, yep.
So the closest shot you'll have on the hole is 100 yards. So, like, if you hit it in that front in that bunker, it's new, super fluffy sand. So I can tell you this ball's probably sitting down. Now the lip's not super tall, which is part of what makes it enticing, right? I watched a guy hit it in there, and then like I'm watching his practice swings. He's stepping, I was like, this isn't gonna be good. This is not gonna be good. This is gonna be really bad. Just chunks it, one hops into the water. I'm like, great. That's exactly why that's there. So if you think about what happens in that scenario, hits his tee shot into trouble. That's a bad spot to be in. Oh, it's not fair. We put the bunker there. I don't care. It's there. That's the job of the defense, right?
Yeah.
Can he hit it out of the bunker? Clearly, he can hit it out. He hit it into the water, so we can do that. Hit it out. Then you got to go over the water, right? So he's in and two. If he actually plays the golf course the way it's supposed to be played and doesn't take a drop on the other side, right? He's in and two. Out penalty shot three, hitting four.
Just to get onto the island.
Great. Now, guess what happens when the pin's in the front of the green? Guess what this guy tries to do? Oh, I got to hit it close now, right? Because now I'm going to make bogey. I can't make bogey, right? Like this is, now it may not be that conscious, but this is how the decisions happen. Remember, everything you say and do tells me everything you believe about the game of golf and yourself. Well, that's not what I was trying to do. I was like, I'm not talking about what you were consciously trying to do. I'm talking about what is down underneath that you don't even see. And so then he hits it, trying to hit it close, lands on the front like edge, rolls back into the water, right? So then we're taking a drop. Now we're in and two, out and three, hitting four, in and four, out and five, hitting six. Luckily, he can drop on the other side, makes eight, right? No reason, right? If we just kick it out into the fairway or even into the rough, that's two. Then we hit three up into the middle of the green, 30 feet away from the hole.
Oh, yeah.
We give ourselves a good look, a simple putt, but then guess what? Well, now I'm behind. I got to make this for par.
No.
So then he makes double anyway because he three putts, right? So, like, even in the, like, little decision there, it leads to the other types of decisions. So those are the things it's about. If you keep asking yourself as you're going through a round, if you're not in an ideal spot, breaking 80, here's your first question. How do I not make double? Well, that sounds negative, Scott. Like, all right, read Bobby Knight's book, The Power of Negative Thinking. It's a wonderful read, and it's not what you think. We need to properly assess the situation we're in. We're not in a good spot, boys and girls. Like, this is not good. We need to at least mitigate our damage. It's not about taking your medicine. I hate that. That's dumb. Like, it's the game. Like, you know, nobody's like, we got to take our medicine on this one in basketball. Like, nobody's saying that. Like, no, this is the right strategic decision. Play it out here. Let's not make double.
I love how you put it too. You're talking about people who are like, oh, it's not fair they put a bunker there. Well, it's like if you're playing basketball and somebody just absolutely stuffs you at the rim, do you say, oh, that's not fair? It's like, no. It's the course's job to play defense.
Right.
So,
that's
like,
its job. Like, oh, but they have this big tall player, like especially high school, right? Well, they got this giant on their team. It's like, he doesn't have to score every point. Like, he doesn't. Fine. Get a little guy that'll shoot one and jump into his body while he shoots one and call fouls. You can foul the guy out. It's hard for a big guy not to get fouled, especially in high school. He can make dumb decisions.
No, but to your point, that's exactly how you start breaking 80 more. Is you stop pushing the gas pedal down and you start strategically thinking about how I can do this. And to this point, so I was telling you,
we're not trying to break 70. We're trying to break 80.
I was telling you, I was playing with two of my buddies, one guy who's trying to break 90 right now and one who's super scratch. He's been playing golf his entire life, but he hasn't played Franklin Bridge in a very long time. And I had to go, unfortunately, but he was playing 18 out here. And he hit it in the bunker. And I asked him, did you get it on the green? And he said something to, and I've got it here. He said, that bunker is so new. The sand is so clumpy and soft, needs to settle in. But that's just the thought of a guy who has broken 80 many, many times. And frankly, does not go over 80 many times.
Right. He properly assesses.
He gets in that sand and he's like, there's no shot I get this on the green.
Right. So we're not going to make an attempt. So understand, golf is a game that is fundamentally about precision. It's strategic, just like every other sport. Like, how do we play against this team? We're headed into March Madness or finishing up March Madness as you guys hear this. Like, how do we finish this game? Like, hey, we can go down by 5. We might even be able to go down by 10. We can't afford to go down by 15 and be, in the extra, we're in the bonus on freaking fouls being called. Like, you can't do that. You can't be down by 10 and be down in the fouls, right? Like,
well, I think another way to put it is we can't be down by 15 or 20 and just keep on chucking up three pointers thinking it's going to bring us back.
No, we got to get some small wins here. Exactly. Let's get some points on the scoreboard. Like, we need to be able to keep up. We need to stop the bleeding. That's a wonderful phrase. Be like, I got to figure out how to stop the bleeding. The problem with thinking about stopping the bleeding is it's both backwards thinking and forward thinking, not right now thinking.
It's great. Ooh, like, that's really great.
You're in a bad spot, that's fine. How do I not make double?
And I think that there's another.
So where are we at? Where are we so far? So in breaking 80, yep. we got the one I just gave, which was bogey. We got three putt avoidance, right? And we've got
don't make double.
How do you not make double? Right. It's thinking just like that. Like, those are your first two big pieces. Like, all right. Where am I? And it's not just like, we already did this with breaking 90. You don't hit certain clubs. So hopefully you don't have one of those in your hands. But look at the situation. All right. It rained this week super heavy and you're going out to play and it's super muddy and you got a little wedge shot next to the green. It's like, well, the pin's close to me short. Like, I need to, and then you chunk it because it's wet and nasty, or you blade it because you're afraid of that. And you try to press that and blah, 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 blah. Like, why don't I grab a 9-iron and just bump it? Like, well, it's going to land in the mud. Well, at least it has enough forward momentum. It might scoot on the green, and we're not making double here. If I lay the sod over it and chunk it, then I got to chip again. I'm really not confident because I just chunked one. At the very least, if I blade one or chunk a 9-iron a little bit, it's still going to get up near the green. That's a specific example, but it's that type of thinking that gets you, and why I want the challenge of trying to get that one guy under 80. Like, it's that type of stuff.
I've got another. You're talking about decision. We're talking about decision making. We're talking about not breaking or not making doubles.
Right.
I've got a quick story that I think will actually give some light to this. So I was playing yesterday again with my two friends. One of them's a super scratch. One of them's trying to break 80. Right. We were on number 9. We were playing number 9. And it was playing 145 with wind with us. We're playing all the way back from the tips, but the pin is in the front, right? And so as soon as the guy who's trying to break 80 hears me and my other guy who's super scratch talk about the numbers 145, he immediately clubs down.
Hits his 140?
Hits his 145 club with the pin in the front, and he hits it. Comes off a little chunky, and we're both yelling at it to go. It's going right online at the pin, but hits it in the water. And so we're thinking, okay, I'm trying to explain this to him in the cart on the way up. I'm like, what is the problem with grabbing an extra club, and now we're not in the water, and it doesn't matter if we're long.
Right.
Right? If we're long, that's great. We can come up. We have a chance to make par, maybe even bogey. But if we're in the water off of number 9, we're making double.
It's funny because those 8 and 9 – do the same type of, like, mess with people's thinking the same way.
Yes.
Like, the number of people I've played with, members in my first year, play with the pro stuff that I did and play with students when I did playing lessons. Now Elijah does most of that. But, like, holes 8 and 9, number 8, people are like, man, I don't want to hit it out of bounds. But they actually don't hate out of bounds as much as they don't want to hit it down there on 4.
on, you mean on 7 or on 8?
Yeah, on 8. They don't want to hit it down.
They don't want to hit it down to 4. Yeah.
They're like, oh, man, I don't want to hit it down there. And so then they snap it out of bounds. It's like, I'm trying to not, I don't want to hit it down the hill. I don't want to hit over here. I was like, dude, you can play from down there. You can't play from somebody's backyard with white stakes. Like, you're re-teeing. Now you're hitting 3. Then you finally bail it down there, and then you're pissed that you're down there. So then you try to force that, and you lay the sod over it, or you blade it, or you don't take enough club because you're, okay, I'm doing the same thing. I'm hitting my 140 club, 145 club. Doesn't get there. So now you've hit 4 up near the green. Now you're pissed. You try to make the chip, hit it too hard, and now you've made, not only have you made not double, you've made triple.
So it sounds like what we're really trying to emphasize here is just proper decision making. It doesn't mean you need to overthink every single shot on the golf course. In fact, you should not. However,
you shouldn't have to.
These proper decision making strategies that we teach you here at FBPI on the podcast, these strategies are what get you to drop these scores without having to touch the golf ball. Right?
Right.
Which is, I think, how you break 80 consistently. We're really trying to focus on technique for 100, for 90, get you into a spot where you can be playing more consistently.
Yep.
However, if you're going to be breaking 80 and getting into the low 70s, you need right. to be making these decisions that are not related at all to how you are putting the golf ball in play.
Right. Well, and Elijah's been doing, it's been 3 days with this one kid working on his working on playing. So he played here the first day, went and played another golf course that's much harder, and then playing again today, playing 36 today. And so Elijah's pushing him and working him through this beautiful golf swing, dude. It is like elite level. He's a freshman in high school, and you're going, gosh, this is a gorgeous golf swing. But it's all the other stuff that's in the way. And I just got a text a few minutes ago, so shot 90 at the Legends, and then is continuing to come down. And then Elijah, like the first 7 holes here, really kind of struggled. Like, it's getting this under control and getting the shot selection under control.
When you said this, you meant headspace.
Headspace, getting the headspace under control. Yeah, sorry. Sometimes I forget I'm not just on video.
Yeah.
And then he got the back 9 kind of under control. The score was about the same, but like the shots were a lot better. The quality of the selections were better. Still a little off in some of the touch and feel. Then I just got a text. He's 2 under through 9. Right? So it's this working out this process of like, how do we get you down? Like, and it's just pulling off all this extra like crud. He wants it to be the golf swing. It's like, dude, it's not the swing. It's something else. And once you accept that it's something else, you can do something about it.
And also, this is also great for people who might not have the best technique. You can break 80 with a poor golf swing, but with good strategy.
Right.
And so there's not one way to do it. And for those people who are saying that I'm never going to have a Scottie Scheffler swing, well, nobody will.
I'm never going to hit it far enough.
I'm never going to hit it far enough. I'm never going to have a good, I'm not going to hit my irons pure. I'm not a good wedge player. It's like, listen, like, honestly, I don't care. Like, honestly, hit your hybrid, top your hybrid down the fairway, and as long as you can just get up and down, like you're probably making par, no worse than bogey. So it's like, it's these things, right? The game does not have to be hard. You just have to think about it a different way.
You know what we should try to do? This would be a challenge.
Okay.
I'd have to get a set of clubs that's long enough. I'd probably have to custom build it from some stuff out of stock from Wilkerson.
Yeah.
But it's for me to try to get to the point where I can break 90 and break 80 left-handed.
That'd be so sick.
Like, to try to test these, like, take all these theories. Like, we've already proven that it works from all the texts and comments and, like, real stuff that's coming. But, like, could I get under 80 playing left-handed, and how quickly could I do it?
That's, yeah.
Now, I can hit a ball left-handed. It's not that I can't hit a ball left-handed. Like, some of you see me do it. Like, it's a decent golf swing. Micah's played left-handed. Micah would get bored. This is part of the reason why Micah's so good. He would get bored as a junior golfer. And like, he'd be like, oh, I just went and played from the 4 tees and played left-handed. And so I would play from the appropriate set of tees based on my driver distance, right? So I'd probably play from not the far back, but not the very forwards either, somewhere in the middle. And like, could I break 80? Like, I don't know.
Well, and here's another question.
I don't think it'd be as fast as I'd like it to be.
No. But here's a similar question, not left-handed, but was pitched on another golf podcast that I want your take
on. Ooh.
for those, this is a pretty popular golf podcast, so I'm sure you guys have heard this before if you listen to golf content. But if you play from the, let's just take me.
I think I know where you're going with this.
If you, let's just take my swing and my game. If I was to play from the very most forward set of tees out here at Franklin Bridge.
It's not where I think you were going, but that's okay. Keep going.
What do you think I would shoot? Do you think I would shoot significantly less than my current? Or do you think I would go, I've got an opinion on this too, but what do you think I would shoot if I played from the very most forward
tees? I think if you're, now that you're thinking about it, I think you'd be close to par, maybe under. Maybe, but people assume, and because I've seen it tested and I did it in college, it's not as simple as you think.
I was about to say that.
It exposes all of your decision-making errors. Like, I'm just going to hit driver. I can drive all these greens. It's like, yeah, but man, there's a lot of, it's not that simple. When you start trying to drive greens, you're actually hitting it into the place with the most danger. So like,
so the reason why I bring this up is because if you do not have experience going low or being comfortable when you are, you know, you make a birdie or two and you're like, oh my God, I'm one under right now. You know, if that's you and you are not used to either handling that pressure or being in that spot, I would highly advise you to go out and play around from two sets forward tees than you normally do, because it makes you make better decisions on the golf course, and it gets you comfortable with being under par if that's something that you're struggling
with. One of my college guys, they have a wonderful college program. One of my college guys, he's playing Division II, good team. Coach started qualifying this spring with playing from the forward set of tees. You have to break par from the forward set of tees, and then you get to move back to the next set of tees and qualifying. The only two guys broke par from the forward set of tees that got to move back to the next set. And whoever got back, and you did this every round, like you couldn't move back until you did that. And then whoever made it back to the furthest set of tees, like think about it, you had to break par at every previous level before you could go back to the back to play. Like, and if only five guys made it to the very back tees, Those are the guys who played. And if there were only three that made it back there and two guys really made it to like the next set of tees, those are the two guys that went.
You know what that covers?
Those are the five guys that went, the three and the two.
That covers as well.
So good. Like, I love when coaches do stuff like that.
Well, we were talking earlier about if you're going to break 80, you either need, you know, a mix of decision-making and swing, or you just need to be a freak one way or the other, right? I think that that, especially for a college program who you can only play five scores, right? Mm-hmm. I think that is the best way to do it, because if you do have a stud who's out there, it's like, listen, man, get better at your decision making, and then maybe you'll make it. You know,
if you think you're so good, then move back.
Right. It takes out like this raw skill component to it. It's like whoever has the best mix of brain and brawn, like you get to qualify.
Because like, all right, we play a short golf course where it's, you know, because they do that sometimes. Like you'll go to a tournament that it's playing super short and super easy. Well, if your team can't go low, then you're not going to win the golf tournament or even place, right? So, like, he's training them for every level of play, and, it covers everything. So, let's throw this one in there. All right, you want to break 80. No, not everybody's going to try this. If you want to break 80, go play from the forward set of tees, break 80 from the forward, and once you can do that, move back to the next. Once you can do that, boom, back to the next until you get to your set of tees.
That's a good one.
And if you're a lady who plays from the forward set, doesn't hit it very far, go to 150 yards and break it from, and on your par threes, maybe play shorter than that, right? So maybe par threes, 75 yards, par fours, 150, par fives, 200 or 250 yards.
Well, this sounds like a lot like the podcast that we did a couple months ago with one of the founders of Op36.
Right.
Is how we're now teaching kids in golf, you know, unless you can break par from, you know, 50 yards, you get to move back
break
it. And I think it's amazing, because one thing that a lot of these people out here have never broken 80 before, and they still play from the golds or they still play from the tips and they just can't do it. And and you wonder why. It's like, listen, man, like it's clearly not your swing. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but you probably need to experiment getting closer to these low numbers from a tee box that's closer to the hole.
You know how many guys would start taking lessons if they couldn't break 80 from the forward set of tees?
Oh my God, dude.
I'd make so much money so fast. They'd all sign up. They'd all be getting together like, man, guys, this is embarrassing. We all got to take a group class together. Like,
oh, yeah.
I'd have them coming for lessons every week until they could do it, right? Like, it's it exposes everything, mm-hmm. right? Like, oh, if I can hit it farther, like, all right, let's move you up a set of tees. Let's see what you do.
You know what I'm loving
about...
And that
matters. It does help to hit it closer.
Yeah, 100%.
But it's not everything.
What I'm loving about this podcast is I think breaking 90 was a little bit more like gimmicky per se. Like, do X, Y, and Z and you'll probably break 90, you know?
Yep.
But what I'm really loving about this breaking 80 podcast is we have not touched any like technical ability. We haven't touched like any kind of gimmick. You know, you need to do this on par fives if you want to do this. We haven't been like hit it to the middle of the green or whatever. No, this has all been purely about headspace.
You have to figure out how to navigate the round, right? I think it's the idea of like, I don't like the phrase playing smart because what in the world does that mean? Like,
yeah.
Playing smart doesn't always mean like, you know, oh, I'm going to hit... You know, people are like, well, I'm gonna hit my 3-wood on number 4. Well, most of you don't hit the 3-wood to the 150-yard marker. It's gonna be better for you to hit driver. Well, I just hit driver there before, and it's has students hitting 4-iron that shouldn't hit 4-iron, and like they're like, really? It's like, yeah, there's wind in our face. It's wet. It's cold. And the best place to play when we don't know where the flag is past the 150 post.
Just a little choke down low driver. It'll sit right where we want it to. You know,
right? Like, and so that's what he hits, right? And so it's. That's also how you break 70, right? Is like thinking differently, but it's
and having
three
the
putt
courage
avoidance.
To execute that.
So here's a way to practice three putt avoidance. Don't practice putting to a hole unless you practice short putts. Practice 3 feet circle around. How many 3-footers in a row can you make? Don't hit the same one twice in a row, right? You got to work around the hole at 3 feet. Put tees down if you have to. And then putt to the edge of the green from varying distances. Don't putt from the exact same spot twice. Nothing's twice in a row. Just putt to the edge of the green. Do uphill ones, downhill ones, sidehill ones. Like, practice putting to edges of the green. Get your speed to where that ball stops right at the edge or within a foot of the edge. Because if you can do that and you can make your short ones, then you can get your long ones within a foot, even if your break is off, and you can within a foot or two, and then you get your long ones, you can make your short ones from 3 feet. Like,
so
that's
good.
That's it. Like, that's your way to practice. Then it's segmenting out your thing from... plus one, plus one, plus one, 6 segments of plus one, and then cut up the card. And then it's don't make double. Like, assess the situation. What's your best way to not make double? Bogeys are your friend when you're trying to break 80. Remember, you get 7 of them. That's at least a third of the round.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And, like, chances are you might slide a bogey or a birdie or two in there when you're not expecting it to. So it's just... do that.
The other thing that I'm going to mention before we kind of wrap this thing up is don't lie to yourself as well. Don't lie to yourself. Like,
no mulligans anymore.
No mulligans anymore.
This
no
is when you were really trying to do it more often.
Yeah. No mulligans like, at this point. Do not lie to yourself. Don't say, that's my first iron shot of the day. I get another one. Like, no. Like, at this point, you have to...
right.
Feel the sting of making an 81 to an 83
right.
and feel the victory of shooting
overcoming.
A 79.
Right.
Right. But it is essential. And like, this is coming from somebody who just recently, well, I mean, a couple years at this point, but you know, fairly recently got into this headspace. It is essential that you don't lie to yourself. You play the game the right way and you just play golf the way it's supposed to be played. There's no more.
Right.
There's no, I don't know what I'm trying to say.
If you miss that 3 or 4 footer, even after the whole group's done, don't go back and hit it again. No, you don't. No. Get rid of that because that's not going to get you where you want to get to.
We mentioned on the last podcast that you're not playing golf. You're playing your own thing to break 90, right? At this point now, when we're breaking 80, you are playing golf. You are
right.
playing golf. The strategy now comes into effect.
Right.
You have to learn how to do that. You have to learn how to execute around the golf course in different situations depending on the kind of game you're playing. That's it. That's just it. And that's going to take a lot of time. That's going to take a lot of experience. That's going to take a lot of playing. That's going to take a lot of sting. That's going to take a lot of 80s to 87s.
Right.
And you're just going to have to learn to push, lower until you can reach that threshold.
I'll say this. Your default, I'll leave you with this last point. Your default when you're trying to break 80 is not, assuming you've already broken 90, right? So we're assuming that, is not, I just swung it wrong on that one. Mm-mm. It is first through the lens of strategy. That is your first lens. What did I strategically do wrong? What did I not read about that situation correctly? What was I not thinking about over the golf ball? Like, it's strategic thinking first. Then it's the mind. The mind is kind of wrapped in that because it's, you're thinking more. Like, it's, that's the first book, the Champions Playbook, thinking your way to lower scores, right? You have to think about what's happening and what can you do different. Do not start with your golf swing. Like, it is not the first problem. It's not the biggest one, I can tell you that. It's a part of it, but it's not the biggest one. So do not start there, because when you start manipulation, then you've lost everything altogether. Do not do that. It's strategy and mindset. That's it. Don't do anything else.
So to wrap this up, and I think this will also be a good little teaser going into our next podcast, you know, breaking 70, I think might be a little bit, you know, we'll probably do a breaking 70, but I think it would be really useful to do like a breaking 75 as well. Because now once we start getting into 80s and breaking through into the 70s, now the margins start to shrink a lot more. So now it's going to be about breaking 75, and then it'll be about breaking 70 afterwards. But you've got to understand that now that you're breaking 80, these margins that you've been playing with, maybe you'll shoot 100 one day and then a 92 the next day. You know, it's an 8-shot difference right there. But these margins, now that we're starting to work more and more towards par, get smaller and smaller and smaller. And the difference between a 79 and a 75 is massive.
We're going to... At this point, we'll start talking about a podcast that I did way, way back. It was like podcast 14, called Fractions of Shots. You can't even find it unless you go try and find it on Podbean, because it's not on any of the major platforms. So it's fractions of shots. It's not a whole shot, a whole shot, a whole shot. It's where are the subtle fractions? And that's a whole nother conversation. It's a lot of fun, but we're probably going to save that one for 4 to 8 weeks out.
Yeah. And if you want a sneak peek on that one, you can always go back to some of our first episodes on OP, BPN, and POA, which is now a completely different, so you'll have to listen up for more. But our first conversations on OP, BPN, and POA are talking about, depending on which side of the fairway you hit it, depending on if you're in the BPN on these holes, these are what's making up these fractions of shots, is hitting it in the right places, right? And so you can start to understand how much more strategy you're going to need in order to shoot lower and lower scores.
Right.
Which is kind of, I would love to end this with 5 minutes here talking about.
Oh, I've got like two, because I got a lesson I got to get to.
Oh, but perfect. Well, then we'll wrap this up and we'll just go on to the next one. Perfect. So perfect. You guys get left on a cliffhanger here for next week. So thanks you guys so much for listening, watching, viewing, subscribing, wherever you guys are at. Rate us 5 stars. Give us a thumbs up. It really helps for other people who are trying to break 80 just like you. So make sure that you guys are pushing me and Scott here for our next breaking podcast. We really appreciate you guys' feedback. Come and stop us on the range. Come and stop us if we're in the pub, right? Like,
we want to know. Stop us in our socials too.
Yeah, in the socials as well. At @shassygolf, at @fbpigolf, at @nomulliganspod.
Oh, that's right. We have that now.
We have No Mulligans Pod. Ooh. So that's also probably, we'll lean into some March Madness picks there as well too.
Yep.
So, perfect. Guys, thanks so much. We'll do another one of these. Don't worry. It's not the last that you're getting. We really appreciate the love that you guys have been giving to the pod recently. So from inside the Putting Lab here at Franklin Bridge, it's Scott and Jack. We'll see you on the next one.
Peace.